I want to take your attentions this morning. It would be the Lord's will, and you pray for me as I endeavor to speak upon these things on the second epistle of Peter. Second Peter and chapter 1. I'm going to recap some things that we mentioned a few weeks ago. We were talking about and started a series on adding to your faith. And he has mentioned seven things here that we are to add to our faith. But he says here, besides this, in the fifth verse, we'll just read this part. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall neither make you barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. We spoke the last time on this message here about besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We spoke on those two things. The most important word, and I'm going to mention some things that I said before just to kind of get us back in line with this. The most important word that I read there is the word diligence. The word diligence means a steady application. Now, when he says we're to add to our faith, he tells us how we're to add to our faith. We're to give diligence. It's diligently applying ourselves and adding these things to faith. You know, if you're successful in a workplace, it's because most of the time you've been diligent in that. If you're a successful parent and you've raised up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it's because you have been diligent in doing that. If you've been married for very long at all in this country, it's because it has taken diligence. Marriage, work, family, all these things take a steady application in our lives to steadily apply those things. It is no different. And much more important, however, when we consider that we are to diligently add to our faith. We are to add to that that we already have, and that is the faith that we have received through the Spirit of God. He doesn't say add faith. He says add to your faith. You've already got faith. If you're a child of God, if you're born again by the Spirit of God, there is a work for us in this life to the end that we may not fall, and that we may have a greater knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what the end is. We read that. So we need to give diligence. We need to give a steady application. He says, give diligence to add to your faith virtue. Virtue, remember we said, is moral goodness. But the definition goes a little bit deeper than just moral goodness. It's talking about being resolute. It's talking about having valor. It's talking about strength in that moral goodness. And that strength doesn't come from us. That strength comes from God. You remember the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's where we come up with virtue, moral goodness. Now these things that he's talking about here, these seven things, don't come naturally to man. They don't come naturally to man. But we have the God-given ability to add those things to our faith. To say that we don't is a lie. To say that we don't have the ability, now you may not have the desire, that's one thing, but you've got the ability because the ability comes from God. We have the ability to have moral goodness in our life because God can empower us in this life. And how do we do that? We have to add something to that moral goodness, don't we? We have to add knowledge. It takes the knowledge of God's Word of how we are to act, how we are to live, and to be encouraged in doing that. You're not going to just, and that knowledge is not just talking about the knowledge of God. We have a knowledge of God through the new birth. There's a certain knowledge that we have, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know ye the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. We have a knowledge of God in the new birth, but this knowledge that he's talking about is a biblical knowledge of God. It is growing, it is adding those things, that knowledge of what Jesus Christ has done for us, the knowledge of how we are to present ourselves, the knowledge of how we are to act with one another in this life is not something that we're just given. We're given strict instructions, aren't we, in God's Word? And so we have the power, we have the ability, but do we have the desire? And not only that, but you still got, and you know, we mention this often, you still got that old Adamic nature. Don't let that, though, become your crutch. Don't let that become your excuse for having a bad attitude, for not having moral goodness, for not obtaining knowledge in God's Word, for not adding anything that you can't. Don't use that as a crutch. Because I want to tell you what, dear child of God, as I've already said, God has given us the power through the new birth and His Word to give us such things as we need in this life to add to our faith. And again, I got to say it again, what is the result of adding to our faith? That we may not fall in this life. Now, we're not talking about an eternal apostasy. It's not talking about an eternal falling away from God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we can fall in our service to God. We can fall in our hope. We can fall in our comfort. We can fall in our rest. We can fall as far as being an example to others in the community, as far as being an example to others in the church. We can fall from all of those things. And not only that, but for if these things be in you and abound, they shall neither make you barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to add these things. So he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, that is moral goodness, and to virtue knowledge. We want to look at the next two things here that the apostle says that we are to add to our faith, that we are to give diligence in adding to our faith. He says in that sixth verse, now you're adding moral goodness to faith, right? You're adding that knowledge to it as well. You're adding that knowledge to your moral goodness, to your virtue. And all these things are being added to your faith. But then he says here, and to knowledge, temperance. Knowledge, temperance. Again, the knowledge that we're talking about is the knowledge of God's Word. The knowledge of how, and that means the knowledge of how we are to present ourselves in this life. Because that's what's going to give us the moral goodness, isn't it? That's what's going to give us the strength and the virtue in this life to add that to our faith. So we are to add to knowledge temperance. Temperance simply means self-control. Self-control. Now, I want to tell you, that can be a hard one, can it? That can be a hard one. Self-control can be a hard one. You say, I don't know. I'm just that way. And when I reach that boiling point, my head just blows off my shoulders and that's it, and I can't take any more. Let me tell you what, dear child of God, don't use that for a crutch. We have the ability, the God-given ability, to have temperance, to have self-control, to be able to do that. And you know, I think I mentioned it a Sunday or two ago. I can remember being on the phone when me and Kim hadn't been married very long, and I've been in an argument with Kim. I think I mentioned to y'all probably don't ever do that, but I do. I did. I got in an argument. My voice was raised up. Again, I'm sure y'all have never been there. Y'all have never done that, but I have back in my foolish days. And the phone rang, the landline. We didn't have cell phones back then. This tells you how far back it was. And I picked up the phone, and it was a friend on the other line. And I went from being mad to raising my voice to saying, "Oh, hey, how's it going? How you doing?" And I realized at that moment that I had control over my temper. I realized at that moment that I had control over how I act. And I don't have to let things boil up and explode within me. But what I do need to do is I do need to look to God and realize that I do have that ability to have temperance. And what good is knowledge of God's word and how we're supposed to be morally good, how we're supposed to have virtue, if we're not adding temperance, if we're not adding self-control to that? You see, each one of these things will just corrode the rest of them if you're not exercising those things. But people will say, "I just can't help myself. I just get out of control, and there's nothing that I can do about it." Hogwash. Yes, there is something you can do about it. You can control it. And what it's going to take is it's going to take a diligent application in God's word. It's going to take a diligent in applying yourself to the Lord in prayer. That's where the diligence is. It's diligently seeking Him, looking to Him. You say, I just can't control myself. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians in about the 17th verse? "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature." You're a new creature, dear child of God. Within you is the ability to have the light of life shine and radiate from you day to day. No matter what the circumstances are. No matter what the situation is. We have the power and the ability to do those things. You know, you remember the old saying growing up, "Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you." Well, you know what? They do hurt you, don't they, words? I know sticks and stones do. But words hurt you. But you know what? Think about it. They don't have to. People's attitudes towards you don't have to unless you let it. Unless you let it. Our mind is a powerful thing. Our day can be made a wreck just because of the way that we're thinking, the anger that may be in us.
That's right.
Or we can diligently add temperance. We can diligently add self-control. Because you know what? You're not going to be treated right every time with everybody in this life. That's no surprise, is it? It's not a surprise, and I want to tell you something. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus," Paul told Timothy, "shall suffer persecution." The more that you're living a life pleasing God, the more that the devil is going to send fiery darts towards you. The more he's going to use people against you, the more confrontation, the more things he's going to put on you. But I want to tell you something. Maintaining this self-control cannot be done by self. Right? Self-control. You can't have self-control by self. What I'm saying is, and this will make it real clear, it isn't right for the FBI to investigate the FBI. Right? Because if you're having self-control over self, guess what? Everything you do is going to be justified. It's okay. I had a good reason to blow up because of what that person said, because of what they did. They deserve what I told them. They deserve whatever's coming to them. Y'all ain't never had that attitude? Sure you have. Sure you have. That's trying to exercise self-control over self. Self-control isn't over self. It's self-control looking to the Lord. Looking to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, I just don't know that much about it. Well, that's why he says, give diligence. Give diligence. I can remember a time And I can remember a time at work many years ago when I was being unjustly treated. No doubt about it, I was being unjustly treated. Things were being brought up against me that were totally false and untrue. And it was just shortly before that I started going back to the church. And I believe then, and I believe full well now, it was just the devil. Didn't like it. And I was receiving persecution day after day after day. And I would drive to the office. And I'd go into the office and I would say, I'm not going to let them see that I'm angry. I'm not going to let them see that they're bothering me. And I would go through the office with a fake smile. I'd go through the office with a fake smile. You know what? It didn't help a thing. It didn't help anything. What finally happened one day on my way to work is the Lord revealed something to me. The Lord revealed something to me in my truck going to work that, Carrie, you're not deserving to be treated any better than what you have been. And I began to think about Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary and what all that He has suffered. And as I went into the office that morning, I went in there with tears in my eyes because my mind was focused on the Lord and what He had done. And you know what? When I changed my attitude, the problem stopped. The problem stopped. When I changed my attitude. My attitude wasn't, I'm going to show them that they're not bothering me. My attitude was, I'm deserving of whatever anybody gives me. And I'm just going to put my trust into Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust in Him. None of us are deserving of any goodness, are we? Right. We're not deserving of that. But I want to tell you, when you look to the Lord and you see what He suffered, there is strength in that. There is strength in diligently applying yourself to these things. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I think it is verse 7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But God has given us something, but He says it's not the spirit of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love I forget what the other one is. A power and love, is that what it is? And of a sound mind. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you. You know what that sound mind is? You know what that sound mind means? That sound mind means self-control. Look it up. It is God that has given us that. The ability to love and the power to have a sound mind, the power to have control, self-control over our lives, self-control over our actions and how we respond to the things. That's what makes the difference in one that's letting His light shine. It's one that just takes those things and is trusting in God. That doesn't mean that it feels good. Suffering never feels good. But I want to tell you what, when you know that you're suffering for the cause of Christ, I want to tell you, you can endure it then. God will give you the strength to overcome those things. We just have to diligently apply ourselves to the Word of God. We have to diligently look to the Lord. Add to knowledge temperance. So how is it that we get this temperance? Well, one of them is, and I've already said it, is giving diligence, is immersing your mind in the Lord. Immersing your mind in the Word of the Lord. Immersing your mind on God will give you that. He will strengthen you in that. Not when your mind is immersed in the politics of today. When you're troubled, I'm going to tell you what, You immerse your mind in the politics of the day, you're not going to go to bed rested at all tonight. And you're not going to wake up rested. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about things, but I would to God that a lot of people that were in politics were half as much into God's Word as they were in politics. And immersing your mind in the Word of God. You immerse your mind in the Word of God, I want to tell you what, you'll have a good night's rest. Not worrying about all of this, not worrying about all that, but putting all of your care upon Jesus Christ. For He careth for you. It is trusting in Him. It is doing those things. When we're talking about over in Titus, I want to show you an example here of how the Word of God can strengthen us in our temperance. In the third chapter of Titus, He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. He didn't say that be subject to the principles and principalities and powers and magistrates if they're treating you all right. He says you put yourself towards them in a godly way. To be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. You see, that's somebody that is diligently applying that temperance, that self-control against the things that are coming up against them. For we ourselves, I'm going to show you how all this ties in. For we ourselves were one time, were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now that's a good news, isn't it? Not by works of righteousness. Why would He put that right there after He talked about how we ought to be treating one another? How we ought to not do evil to man? You ever think about that? Let's put it all into context. Why would Paul put that right there? A good gospel message. Well, let's read on. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. You see, we haven't done anything to obtain the goodness and the mercy of God. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now I want to tell you what, that's good news right there. That's good news of what the Lord has done for us, and it's not according to our righteousness. But now listen to what Paul says. He brings it all the way back around to what he started off with. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. That you affirm these things constantly. That you affirm them in your heart. The things that God has done for you, that you affirm it with others around you. That you keep that in your heart. That you're diligently applying the Word of God in you. Even against the troubles and the trials and the people that would seek to try to destroy you. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. That they which have believed the truth might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. That they might be what? If we affirm these things to us, they'll give us the power and the strength to be careful to maintain good works. Amen. You see, it's not self-control over self. Self-control over the Word of God. It's giving diligence, knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us. That'll cause your eye, the eye of faith, to be redirected, not casting your eyes upon your troubles and your trials in this life, but casting them upon the Lord. You've never solved one trouble or trial by worrying about it. Never. And you never will. Doesn't mean that we ought not be concerned about them. Doesn't mean that we ought not worry about them. It just means, dear child of God, that ought not be what our mind is immersed in. Mine ought to be immersed in the Lord. That we may continue to maintain good works in this life. For this is good and profitable unto men. It's profitable. A lot of people talk about making profit. Making a profit. When you think about making a profit, people always run to money. They want to make a profit in money. And that's a good thing. But I want to tell you, there's something more profitable than money. And that is more profitable than money is the rest and the assurance that we can have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to His Word. That's profitable. Because whether you're rich or whether you're poor, troubles are still going to come knocking upon your door. They're going to be there. They're not going to go. Money's not going to drive the problems away. It's probably just going to introduce a whole lot more. They're not going to go away. But I want to tell you what. When our eyes are upon the Lord and we're steadfast upon Him, and remember that it wasn't by our righteousness that we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, hateful and hating one another. And it was the Lord that came to us. It was the Lord that came to where I was at. And there was a change in me because not of my righteousness, but because of His mercy and because of His grace. Now, when I have that in my mind against the troubles and the trials of this life, I'm going to tell you what. I'm able to overcome them. I'm able to overcome them. That's how we add that. That's how we add that temperance to knowledge, that self-control. In Matthew 11 and Matthew 11 and verse 28, the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now we understand that this call is not a gospel call to the dead alien sinner. This is a gospel call to the child of God that's laboring and heavy weighted with a great burden in this life. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because, how will He give us rest? Because I am meek and lowly in heart." Because I am meek and lowly in heart. We come unto the Lord. You know what we find about the Lord? That He's meek and lowly in heart. We learn that in His house. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart." He's saying, I'll show you how to be meek and lowly. I'll show you how to be timid and humble. You know, timid and humble as a dove, but as bold as a lion. Don't mistake meekness for weakness, right? We're to stand for the truth. Amen. And we're to hold fast to that the Lord has given us. And not give in to anything in this life. But I want to tell you what, dear child of God, when it concerns the troubles and the tribulations and the trials that come upon us, He says, "Come and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall," when you learn that, "you shall find rest for your souls." There's a rest there. There's the rest there for us. Because after all, really, we just don't like the way people treat us because we just got just a little too much pride in us, don't we? Or maybe it's a lot. Maybe that was an understatement. We just don't like the way people are treating us because we think we deserve to be treated differently. That we should be treated differently. Not really. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. God forbid that we should even try to act that way now after we've been born again by the Spirit of God. But looking to the Lord. You know what that does? That shines a light in the world. That shines a light in the world. So how do we have that self-control? What kind of things are we talking about having self-control over? Well, James talks about one, doesn't he? Over in the second chapter of James, talks about the tongue. Self-control, first of all, comes by controlling this unruly, evil member that James calls it, the tongue. "And the tongue is a fire," in the sixth verse of the third chapter of James. I'm sorry, I said the second, but we've gone to the third chapter. In the fifth verse, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You ever just said something and you said, "You know what, I shouldn't have said that." Well, you know what? It's too late now. You can't delete it.
It's already gone out there. You know what we ought to do? We ought to stop and think first of what we're saying, of how we're acting. Are we acting in a way that shows temperance? Are we acting in a way that shows control, that we're being controlled by the Word of God, that we're looking to the Lord? Because it's easy. This is a hard thing. Temperance is a hard thing. If we're in the flesh, it's an impossible thing. He goes on to say, talking about the tongue there, in the 8th verse, "But the tongue no man can tame, for it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain bring forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine or either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Now listen to this, and here's where the knowledge comes into this in the 13th verse. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Knowledge. Add temperance to knowledge. Self-control. Don't allow yourself to be overcome by the things of this world, by Satan, by the attacks of this world. But come unto him who is meek and lowly in heart. And you shall, he says, find rest for your soul. So we also see that there's a control over our thoughts, isn't there? In the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, we are to bring our thoughts under control of how we think. He says in the 3rd verse, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of" what? Strongholds. The strongholds we're talking about are the strongholds in our mind. Those strongholds that says, here's my line in the sand. And when you cross that line, you've had it, old boy. That's the strongholds. We have strongholds. He said to do away with those strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many times in your mind you thought somebody was thinking one way about you, and you never even knew because you never went and talked to them about it, and so you just assumed all of that in your mind, and now your relationship with that person has been ruined or destroyed because you've made up in your mind that that person is thinking this, or he's thinking that, or she's thinking this, or she's thinking that. It's all in our mind. Well, we won't sit down and talk with one another. Let's just build our own imaginations in our heart and in our minds of the things that we believe is going wrong, and then we'll go with that. That's not having control over your thoughts. That's not having control over your mind. Over in Proverbs, he talks about having control over our temper. We've been talking about temper. In Proverbs 17 and 32, he says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." That rules his own spirit. That keeps his anger down. That has self-control over himself. And again, over in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, and the 18th and the 28th verse, "He that hath no rule over his own city is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So you know what that means? Without walls, there's no protection there. You've just opened yourself up to the enemy because of your anger. You've let yourself go. These are things here that the apostle tells us that we are to keep in memory. That we are to not only keep those things in memory, but we are to diligently add those things in our life. What about our desires? In the 13th chapter of Romans, here's something we ought to have control over. Let us, in the 13th verse, Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. This is all talking about diligently adding. You see, God's Word gives us everything that we need. You're already born again by the Spirit of God. You've already got faith. He's telling you what to add. Now, listen, the Apostle Peter wouldn't tell you to add something if we didn't have the power to add that. The power through God. So we're to add these things. And live a life of rest. Live a life of relying and trusting on the Lord. And live a life that shines that you're a child of God to all those around you. That when adversity comes your way, you realize that you're worthy of the least of all saints, not worthy. That you're not worthy of anything. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. We look to Him, that we trust in Him. We could go on. We've got some more things we'd like to say about that, but our time is running short. I will add one thing, and then we're going to close. I don't want to get into the other one and have to cut up in the middle of it. Adding temperance to knowledge, self-control. In the first chapter of Daniel, we read about Daniel and the three Hebrew children, right? And they were brought in, and they were told to eat the king's meat for a number of years, right? To eat the king's meat, that their countenance would shine. And then at that point, they could come before the king. You know what David said? He exercised self-control over temperance, his self-control. He said, we don't want the king's meat. He said, you just give us this pulse. I'm not sure what pulse is, but it probably wasn't as good as the king's meat. Somebody said one time it's like it's a bean porridge or something like that. I'm not sure. But David said, you give us this pulse and try us for 10 days. And see when you come back after 10 days if our countenance isn't better in just 10 days. And the one that was over them said, okay, I'm going to give you pulse for 10 days and then you come back. They ate pulse for 10 days and they came back and guess what? Their countenance was brighter than all of the other ones. You know, the things of God's Word, following the Lord, trusting in Him, reading in God's Word, is not appetizing to a lot of people. They would rather be fed upon the things of this world. They'd rather enjoy the lusts and the pleasures of this life that are only for a season, the Bible tells us, than to give diligence and to add to their faith, than to give a steady application of God's Word in their life. But you know what it did for them, and you know what it'll do for you? Not drinking and not eating the king's meat at his table, but eating from the Word of God, that heavenly manna, you know what it'll do? It'll make your countenance shine that much better. Not feeding on the things of this world, but feeding on the Word of God. Looking to the Lord. That'll give you self-control and your temperance. When you add that to knowledge, and knowledge virtue, and you're adding that to your faith, you see, all of these things go together. And you say, I just can't do that. You know, I mentioned that earlier on when we started this message this morning. Yes, you can do that. But I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a steady application. It takes applying yourself, just like you apply yourself in everything else that you do. It takes a steady application. Trusting in the Lord and looking to Him. And knowing that He's there for us to give us such things as we need. It's reading God's Word. Becoming familiar with God's Word. Looking and seeing how the patriarchs of old were strengthened in the Lord. And that how we are encouraged and admonished to be strengthened in the Lord by reading about the Lord and what He has done for us. It's all there. We're living in a society nowadays where we hardly don't even want to open up God's Word anymore. As far as studying, as far as meditating upon the Word of God, we're just leaving it up to 1 hour on Sunday morning. 1 hour on Sunday morning is not enough, dear child of God. We need this Word daily in our lives if we're going to live a life that is pleasing to God. If we're going to live a life of that rest that we can find in the middle of our troubles and trials and tribulations, it takes a diligent, steady application of God's Word. That's what it's here for. God bless you. I appreciate the time.